what are some of the signs that your relationship is working? Today, we're going to talk about 7 signs that your relationship is on track. If you'd like to find out how to improve your relationship, head over to therelationshipmaze.com, where we have resources and our course in how to improve your relationship. And you can also take our free online conflict style quiz to find your conflict style in relationships and how to improve it. Welcome to today's podcast. And last week we talked about 7 signs or 7 warning signs in your relationship. So this week we're going to be talking about 7 signs that your relationship is on track.
Yeah. And the first one we were thinking about is that there's an indication that you feel safe and secure in your relationship. You know that a part of that, of course, is first of all that you are committed to each other, that there's a clear sense of you are actually committed to this relationship. You're in it rather than out of it. So one of the first questions I often ask couples I work with in couples therapy is how they experience their commitment to each other. And that is often, of course, a great indication of where are they. If one partner is kind of on their way out already in the relationship, is not committed to it anymore, then, of course, it makes it a lot harder to work at improving the relationship. So if you are in a healthy relationship, in a secure and safe relationship, there is a commitment, and that's not questioned. It's very clear that you're there for each other, you're in it, you're wanting to be with your partner.
Yeah, I think that's a really good question to ask people. I'm just wondering, when you said, how do you experience your commitment in a relationship? Are you talking about how you know that your partner's committed to you, or how you know you're committed to them, or what does that mean? I'm just wondering a little bit more if you could go into more about that, because that sounds really interesting.
So it's more a question, not so much about what do you think your partner is thinking. Sometimes I do exercise like that as well, where I ask partners to step into each other's into each other's shoes and describe what they think their partner might be experiencing, so looking through the other lens. But with this question, it's really quite straightforward question about what do you think? What are your feelings about this relationship? Are you still feeling that this is working well? Are you still thinking, I want to work at this relationship through thick and thin? Or are you at this point where you're really worn out by it and you feel like I can't carry on anymore with it? So it's really a basic question around, you know, are you still thinking that is something that you want to be engaged with? Do you still want to be engaged with your partner? Do you still want to be engaged with the relationship? Because, you know, relationships, we know that. We talk about this a lot in this podcast. They require work sometimes, and they're challenging sometimes. And there are times when you really don't like your partner so much because they said to have done something that you weren't very keen on. We've talked about, you know, how the past influences the present. So, you know, there are all sorts of things that get in the way that are challenging in relationships, and you might not be so sure anymore. So commitment is about this idea of, yes, it can be hard. Yes, it can be challenging, but I'm in it.
Yes, and I think that's really important, is there will be times when, you know, things are challenging. And it's like, even when you feel things are great, there might still be things you don't like about your partner, because yeah, there's always going to be little niggles and other things that may be there. But I think with commitment as well, I think there's that long-term vision as well. And the challenge is, you know, if you think with commitment, it's sort of any hurdle means that's the end, that's maybe not that thinking long-term enough. So I think commitment has a longer focus as well, like more future focus, that there may be challenges, but we'll work together and work through these, or Absolutely. Do what we can to work through them. And part of this as well, I think, that's important is that you're able to express your feelings, you're able to express your thoughts. So, you know, when we feel safe in a relationship, when we feel secure, when we feel supported, which is really important in a relationship, we can express how we're feeling and what we're thinking. And, you know, sometimes that challenging, and is it challenging because you find it difficult to express your thoughts and feelings yourself generally? Is it because you feel maybe expressing these things might mean your partner will reject you? So it could bring up your own insecurities. Or is it something about the relationship that causes you to feel that you can't express your thoughts and feelings? So the question is, where does that come from as well?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, so it's a two-way thing, is that we need to be able to express our thoughts and feelings ourselves. And if we feel blocked generally doing that, that can be problematic in relationships. Because expressing and sharing your thoughts and feelings can help you become closer. And part of that is your partner also needs to respond and listen and be aware of that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I found so many times people I work with who they have these thoughts in their relationship or feelings that they haven't expressed. So something's on their mind, something, even a niggle with their partner. And, you know, when we talk about it and they've said that they haven't expressed it, when they do go and express this to their partner, it makes a huge difference. It can be, you know, something that can seem really quite small when they bring it up, but in their mind, you know, sometimes we make a huge thing out of something when, you know, actually expressing that can help deepen a relationship when you listen, when your partner listens.
Mm. Yeah, so you're absolutely right. So it's this sort of chicken and egg question about expressing yourself, saying what's on your mind, even if you think that your partner might not like what you have to say. I think if you can do that in your relationship, it's just worth so much. If you can really... you really say authentically, you know, this is what I'm experiencing in this relationship and this is what is a difficulty for me here, then that's a sign, often that is a sign that really this is a strong relationship. This is a strong relationship that can withstand these difficult scenarios where you might be saying something to each other that the other doesn't particularly like to hear. And what I'm not saying that you know, this is a sort of free-for-all where you can just express all the time. Sometimes over-expression can also be problematic because it can tip over into this kind of constant criticism of each other. That's not really what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about a scenario where partners in a relationship know that it's okay when there are difficulties, when there are challenges, that they can put the cards on the table and say, look, this is something here that we need to talk about. Which brings us to our second point, really, doesn't it, about what an indicator for a healthy, a strong relationship is, that you can talk to each other, that you can communicate in a way that is actually helping you to resolve difficulties and challenges, that is also enabling both of you to clarify thoughts and feelings that you have, that you communicate in a way that that you also communicate your love for each other, for example. That's part of it. It's not only about problems, that you can say good things to each other too, so that there is a flow here, a sense of engagement with each other, an openness with each other.
Absolutely. And picking up on a point you made earlier, I think, you know, part of that is that sort of empathy and respect that we need to have for each other in a relationship.
Mm.
So empathy and respect when we're listening, and also empathy and respect when we're communicating too. And part of that is noticing, do we tend to blame when we're communicating?
Mm-hmm.
So it's owning your response as well. We have a response to things and accepting, this is how I'm experiencing this, and expressing that in a way where you're wanting to make some difference with that, or help, you know, have your partner respond differently.
Mm-hmm.
And when we start to blame, we start to close off. And we've talked about this in previous podcasts. So I think it's about, you know, making sure that you have that empathy and respect. Mm-hmm. You listen to each other and work together to find solutions.
Mm-hmm.
So there are going to be problems. How do you get through them? And working together with that, so I think that's really important.
Mm.
And like you said as well, you know, expressing the good things is great. So if your partner does something that makes you feel good, express that. Because often we think, well, they know that I appreciate that. But they don't necessarily.
No.
It's like with love, you know. And we all grow up in families where some of our families expressed that they loved us and some just kind of hugged us but never really said it. Certainly in my experience, a lot of people wanted to hear it as well. I think, you know, so if we talked about love languages.
Mm.
I think having that courage sometimes to express that is so important.
Mm.
And sometimes it is that, because it's that feeling that it's difficult to say those words because we never really heard them.
Mm.
But it can have such an impact.
Mm. Yeah, and communication also is something that can be learned. Very often we haven't learned to communicate very effectively in relationship. We haven't learned it because it hasn't been modeled effectively to us by our parents or other influential people in our lives. We certainly don't learn that at school. Nobody teaches us how to talk to each other effectively, how to resolve problems with each other, for example. So if you have that in your relationship, if you can do that in your relationship, well done you. It definitely is an indication that you're doing well.
Absolutely. And that's why in our course, The Relationship Maze, we have the third section, which is all about how you improve your communication with your partner, because it's so important.
Mm-hmm.
So the third sign that your relationship is working would be that you have a strong emotional connection. So, you know, what does that mean? Well, part of that is going to be that you enjoy spending time together and have a sense of intimacy and closeness. Mm. So, you know, that might be about sharing activities together, sharing interests, sharing values, or having that respect for each other's values. You know, sometimes our values may differ a little, but those core ones, we need to be able to really respect and we almost have a sort of admiration for our partner's beliefs and the way that they see things.
Mm.
And certainly, you know, it requires work. So part of this is, you know, to basically have that strong emotional connection, you have to spend time, you have to make sure that you do work on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, it sort of goes back to communication as well, to being able to express what you're experiencing, being open with your partner, letting your partner in, basically allowing your partner into your inner internal life as well, and letting them know what's going on for you so that they have some sense of what you're experiencing. So it's also about being tuned into each other, which is not the same as mind reading. So, you know, couples often think that if the partner really loves them, then he or she can read their mind. I'm not talking so much about that, but about a sensibility that you develop with each other, a sensibility towards your partner, which lets you notice when your partner is downcast or struggling or, you know, having some difficult emotional experiences, and then kind of being there for the partner, engaging with that goes a long way.
Yes, absolutely. And I think also thinking about times in the past where you've had a strong emotional connection and thinking, how do you know when you have that strong emotional connection? What does that mean to you?
Mm.
How do you experience that? Do you ever feel you've had that? Because as well, as we talked about with a previous example, this may sometimes be in ourselves that we stop ourselves from feeling that we have that strong connection. Maybe we defend ourselves from that, because if we feel we have that strong connection, we could be hurt.
Mm.
So part of this is also, I think, opening your heart to potential pain as well, because only through opening our heart to risk do we also allow ourselves to have that joy.
Mm.
So it's about allowing ourselves to fully participate emotionally with our partner.
It's trust as well, isn't it? It's based on trust, being able to trust your partner to handle that heart of yours in a very, very delicate way. Yeah, to be mindful that there are sensitivities.
Yeah, and how do we trust is the thing. Because, you know, at the end of the day, that trust largely comes from us. You know, because we don't really know what's going on with another person. We can't control what they do, what they think, obviously. And, you know, that wouldn't be a good relationship if we did or if we tried to. So at the end of the day, you know, we have to allow ourselves to have that courage to trust. Because it's only when we allow ourselves to trust, we can open our hearts and experience more love and more of that connection.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think we move on, shall we?
Great.
So the next one that we had on our list was a healthy sex life. Now, what that looks like, that's a really interesting question. So there isn't a formula here. There isn't a formula here that stipulates you have to have sex so and so many times a week, or you have to have that form of sexual contact with your partner. There absolutely isn't a formula. It's more a subjective experience that you and your partner have about having a satisfying sexual life together. What that looks like is very much determined by you two as a couple and what you want to create. There might also be there are likely to be differences. There are likely to be different levels of desires in most relationships. There's one partner who might want to have sex more often, for example, one partner who wants a bit of less of it. So there is also a sense of a mutual agreement, so to speak, about how are we going to go about it, or what are we going to do when we're running into difficulties here. How are we addressing that if one of you is dissatisfied, wants to have more sex, for example? So a healthy sex life, of course, also ties into the whole question of communication. How do we talk about sex generally? How do we talk about our desires? Does our partner know what we like sexually, what we enjoy? I'm always surprised that how many couples never ever have that discussion.
Yes, I think it can be something, again, that can be quite challenging for a lot of people because, you know, depending on, you know, where you're brought up, certainly in the UK, I think it's something that really isn't talked about that much by families and something that's private. It's something that's almost quite secretive, something that sometimes has been made to feel like it can be shameful to talk about these things openly. But it's so important to do that. And the question, you know, and the thing with this as well is it takes work. You have to, you know, to have that fulfilling relationship, to have a good sex life with your partner, you have to work on keeping that spark alive. And part of that comes from discussion. Part of it also comes, I think, from us individually about, you know, bringing ourselves back to that sense of desire for our partner. You know, I mean, I think sometimes even remembering what it was like when we first met our partner, when we first felt that excitement, kind of reconnecting with some of that passion, some of that spark, can be really, really important.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, relationships change. Also, your sexual life will change in the span of your relationship. It will be different. That doesn't necessarily mean that it gets worse. Some people seem to assume that, you know, if you've been in a long-term relationship, there might not be any sexual life anymore. And that is indeed also true for lots of couples and might also be fine for those couples who have made that decision together that that's what they want. They don't want to have a sexual life anymore. But for lots of couples, it's not about... It's more about acknowledging that, okay, we go through different experiences here and it ebbs and flows when there's lots of stress in the relationship, for example, because of external factors, when there's work stress, when there are young children around, for example, for, you know, new parents, their sex life will be affected by the change in circumstances and by the fact that they are babies around or children who want attention. Of course, that's going to have an impact. So it ebbs and flows, it changes. But it is, as you say, Tom, it is about keeping that dialogue open about it and remembering that you can always bring something back. It might not be exactly what it was like the first heady days when the relationship first started. But it doesn't mean that it has to be over either.
Absolutely. Let's move on to the fifth sign. So the fifth sign that your relationship is working is around having a shared vision together, about how you grow and develop, having a vision for the future. So, you know, we each have our own goals and aspirations, of course, but in terms of our relationship, what are our goals and aspirations? What can we find together fulfilling and meaningful in our relationship? This could be in our values. It could be in things, our plans for the future. Where do we move towards? I think it's great to share some of these visions with each other and think, you know, what do we want to be doing? Where do we want to be living? How do we want to be having our life in the future? Creating that shared vision, you know, is really creates this momentum towards moving forward together. And how we support each other's dreams and ambition. That shows that, you know, that commitment to each other, that it's not just about us, it's about where we want to move together as well.
Yeah, it's really important because this relationship vision, I think it ties in again to the question of commitment as well and some passion and excitement in the relationship as well about, you know, ideas that bind you together, common goals that you're going for, this something that, you know, indicates, oh yeah, we're on a path here together. We're looking forward to something that we both want to create. And indeed, I mean, often in couples therapy, one of the first exercises, I don't do it with every couple, but when I see it fit, is a relationship from Imago therapy from Havel Hendricks, which is called the relationship vision exercise, where I ask couples to write down statements about the relationship that they want to create together, that they want to envisage together. What is it that they want to experience? And there could be just statements, positive statements of what they want to be doing together, how they'd be feeling in the relationship. It's a lovely exercise, actually. And it also sometimes, you know, it sort of pauses you and lets you reconsider again, what is it that actually matters here? What is it that it matters to us as individuals? Because the relationship vision exercise looks at your own ideas and then it looks at your shared ideas as a couple. What is it that we want to create here together? It gives you another a pause, so to speak, and another start to think again about what really matters here.
Great. And I think actually the next one we can talk about, which is almost the opposite. So the sixth sign is that we help each other to grow and develop as individuals.
Mm.
So it's really important, like we talked about just now, that we find that shared vision together.
Mm.
But also we need to find and enable each other to grow individually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, otherwise it can feel almost for some people quite trapped, or we lose sense of ourselves.
Mm.
But what really, you know, what really is so important in relationships is us as individuals as well. We come together, we have those moments of togetherness, but within that we're also individual. And I think that's, you know, when you think about your partner, when you think about when you met them, and you think about all the things you respect, you admire, you love about them, that's them. It's not because they're part of you, it's because you love them. You love that, you know, what they, you know, what's important to them, what, you know, what their characteristics, their traits are, what they're interested in, passionate about, and growing to really kind of have that respect, admiration and love for, you know, what makes your partner them.
Yeah, because, and you know exactly what might be very different from you, and what can feed their passions. Because if your partner grows, I mean, for lots of couples, often that can be, it can be very frightening to see your partner grow. There often is a fear and an anxiety, oh, if they grow, they might grow away from me. They might be more interested in doing some other things that don't involve me. So for some couples, for some partners, it can be quite terrifying to witness their partner going off into their own direction, so to speak. But that's a sign of an immature relationship. That's a sign of there's something that's not allowed to develop here, to grow. In a mature relationship, this is nurtured and celebrated. And the fact that you're both different people and you've got your different ideas and projects and interests and passions, that's great. That doesn't mean that you can't have joyful moments together as well. On the contrary, I think it will strengthen the bond between both partners.
Yeah, and that's about balance. So it is about the balance between yourself and the togetherness. So it's finding that balance that works between you. And, you know, if it's just one or the other, it can be unhealthy.
Sure.
So it is how you find that balance.
Mm-hmm.
So the last step, number seven, is about handling conflict. And I think this is really important. And I think this is one that you need to work on at the beginning of a relationship.
Mm.
You need to understand this because, you know, like you were saying, Angela, earlier, is we don't learn how to communicate at school. We don't learn how to handle conflict at school. You know, it can be really challenging when you have an argument, when you have a disagreement. How do you respond? I mean, you know, we put together a course on conflict styles and how to deal with arguments because this is so important. If you don't get this right, you know, early on, I think this is, you know, it's going downhill right from that point in your relationship. I think learning how to handle conflict is vital in terms of having a good relationship.
Because the pattern that most often plays out in couple relationships is that there's always one partner who's advancing, who is on the attack, going for it, and then there's a partner who's withdrawing. Who's withdrawing from the attacks, who's defending. And when you have that kind of pattern going, there's no engagement, actually. There's no listening to each other. There's no positive resolution with this particular dance. So, you know, something that you need to learn then is how do you reverse this pattern, so to speak? How is the person who's always attacking, how can they retreat? How can they understand why they're attacking and what they need from their partner? And conversely, with a partner who's always retreating, how can they step forward a little bit more? How can they be more present for the partner who is attacking, who clearly has some concerns? So what's important with conflict is, and this is just one example, there are other patterns, of course, that play out in conflicts. Depending on your conflict style, as you said, Tom, you will have a different way of engaging with conflict. You can also have two partners in the relationship who always have a very harmonious relationship. They say, it's great, we never argue, everything is always great. I always look at them and I think, what is it that you're not talking about? How is this possible? There is something that's being swept under the carpet here. Your differences are being swept under the carpet. So just to be clear, conflict is normal, it's healthy. There will be conflict in a relationship because you're separate people, you've got different agendas, you've got different lenses through which you view the world, you've got different desires, etc. It's natural to have some conflict. So conflict in and of itself is not the problem. It's the way that you approach it that is absolutely crucial.
Yeah, absolutely. And that part of that is really listening to each other. Mm. And you mentioned as well, like, well, if you step back, you may need to step forward. Well, I think actually what we need to do is both parties need to, first of all, work on emotional regulation. Mm-hmm. Because when you get into that, if you're getting into that sort of attack mode or you're getting into defense, mm-hmm. your brain's shutting, the part of your brain that's is logical and reasoning shuts down. We mm-hmm. go into that limbic system response. We need to get the full brain, you know, get the rest of our brain back on gear so we can actually listen. Mm-hmm. So that has to be managed in order to really manage conflict effectively. Mm-hmm. So I think that's taking responsibility for our own actions and reactions, noticing how we respond and how we can start to kind of become aware of that and do something about that so we can listen, so we can talk respectfully, so we can explore each other's perspectives rather than getting stuck in our own and getting defensive. Mm-hmm. And as a result, so we can work together and find solutions that benefit both people and can help to deepen that connection, deepen that relationship. And when you do that, you can just have such a massive positive impact on your relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yes, although I think there are also some couples, and I remember some research that was done by the Gottman Institute, which specializes in couple relationships, and there were more examples than the one that I'm just referring to now, where they actually found that couples who get into a lot of fights, where there's a lot of expression, emotional expression in the couple, they are very often couples that last the course, interestingly enough, because you might think it's the opposite, but they get it out. Yeah, they get it onto the table. They express what they need to say. But it's almost like a mutual understanding that this is okay, that we can do that. So it's not necessarily it's a sort of contract, so to speak, even if it's an unwritten and unspoken contract, that this is okay, as long as there's then some sort of come down from this high level of emotional expression. As long as there then is a way of resolving this conflict, of stepping towards each other. So couples can be very highly reactive, highly emotionally reactive, but they need to come out of it. And if they can do that, actually, these are couples that you might know a couple like that. They're quite, a lot of people would describe these couples as very passionate people. Yeah. It might also be a cultural expression. I'm thinking about a lot of Mediterranean countries where there is more of this emotional expression. So it's not necessarily problematic, it's what you do with it and if you can manage it well as a couple.
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, I would question myself, though, is it really healthy in the long term? Is there a different way of handling it? And, you know, and is it actually, you know, does it produce these highs and lows? Is it almost like a drug for this sort of feeling? And I don't know if that's always healthy. And certainly if there are children involved, and I've worked with many people
that's
who
true.
Have witnessed their parents being very emotional. And sometimes actually it's been that excuse, well, you know, we're, you know, from a
we're fiery country, people, we're fiery, yeah,
from a fiery kind of culture. Mm-hmm. But it can have a huge impact on kids hearing the shouting and screaming.
That's
it
true.
It needs to be toned down to a level. You can express yourself, you can express the emotions, but when it gets really heated, you know, particularly as a young child, witnessing that conflict, I think, can potentially be quite damaging. So, you know, I think it's about, you know, this can work. It can lead to longer relationships. Some people like that buzz, that sort of adrenaline that they get when they're in that. But is it really the healthy way forwards? And maybe, you know, like you said, there's some research suggests it can work for some people.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'd question, you know, is this really the healthiest way to do that?
It wouldn't be my preferred option, of course not. And I think you're right. I think there is an issue around children witnessing this level of conflict. But I think what's important for children, and I think we're sort of slightly digressing here from our subject, but what's important for children is that they need to see that there's resolution. It's okay for them to see their parents argue. However, how violent these arguments get is debatable. Probably not a good idea if it's a very violent expression, verbally violent expression. But, you know, they can see that there's a heated argument going on between the parents. What's important is that they can see at the end of it, oh, they can come back together again. They can resolve their differences. That's an important lesson for children to learn. But anyway, that's a whole other debate. Maybe we can talk about that another time. Yeah?
Yeah, so let's wrap this one up. So yeah. Please... subscribe to our podcast, tune in next week, and we look forward to speaking with you then.
Take good care until then.
Bye.